Morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the JAS, JAS call on the 3rd of September. And on the call, we have Tijani Benjama, Rafik Damak, Cheryl Langdon-Hall, Carlos Aguirre, Avery Doria, Alan Greenberg, and Elaine Preuss. And for staff, we have Carla Valenti, and myself, Glenda Sanchavi. We have apologies from Alex Gakuru, who cannot be on the call, and from Bodwan Shombi. Thank you very much, Avery, and over to you.
Okay, thank you. The next thing to do is to check on the statements of interest and declarations of interest. First, on the statement of interest, which pertains to your general work and relation to ICANN and ICANN issues, does anybody have any changes to make on their SOI, either that they've made in the last since the last meeting or that they feel they need to make at this point? Okay, hearing none, I please remind everybody to update your SOI as soon as there's a reason to. In terms of declarations of interest, which have to do specifically with the material being worked on and talked about in this call, for example, anyone working on a proposal for a new GTLD that would be applying for the kind of assistance that we are discussing needs to make a declaration of interest once they understand that that's the case. Does anybody have any changes or new declarations of interest to make at this time? Okay, as I understand it, there are no changes to anyone's declaration of interest, so we can go on.
Cheryl is asking for the floor.
Oh, Cheryl's asking for the floor. Yes, Cheryl, I saw the microphone. Sorry. Cheryl.
Actually, Avery, it was to the point that was being discussed before the recording started. So.
Okay. So let me come back to the agenda. Let me do the agenda, and then I'll come back to you. Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Okay, so for the agenda we had today, the main item was to start walking through the review summary and analysis. We already walked through the review comments once. We had discussions. We made comments. Carla did her best to capture what it was we had been saying, and now we need to look at it and say, yes, this is what we want to say, and to understand whether we still have any changes left. So that's the main item. We have a going back to the final report revision should we finish that, but that's optimism. In terms of any other business, we started a conversation before this meeting on what exactly is our charter, and I basically asked that that conversation stop until we got the meeting started, and the question was basically prefaced by Tijani saying, I understood that a four-bullet charter was approved by both chartering organizations, but on the wiki we have a five-bullet charter listed. I think that's almost a direct quote. What is our charter? And so we started discussing it. I basically indicated that, yes, a four-point charter had been approved by both of the chartering organizations. I had sent a status update, I believe, to both organizations, though I'm only sure of to the GNSO, stating that the charter was supposed to have been approved with five bullets, and we were going to operate as if the five bullets were in the charter. Please inform us if that was the wrong thing to do, and if their processes felt meant they needed to update the charter, please do. And that's sort of the last I heard of it, and now I had Cheryl first and Alan second. Microphones are showing up as opposed to hands. I'm not quite sure why that is, but I'll see if I can figure that out. Oh, but Tijani has his hand up. So no, it's
someone
Cheryl,
must,
Alan,
someone must be doing
on.
That.
Okay, I don't think
yeah,
I'm doing that.
We don't
that,
have
but
any control on
okay,
the
I understand. I did it. Sorry. Okay. Okay, so Cheryl,
you,
please.
You then you can take away.
Okay.
Yeah. Avery, that happens if the little window comes up and you approve someone that raised their hand. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, Cheryl.
Okay. Avery, we did certainly discuss at ALEC in his role as liaison. Carlos did raise the point, not at one, but at two meetings. The action item from the ALAC was to specifically go back to the GNSO and check with staff on that, and we ascertained from the GNSO record that in fact what we have charted and approved was a 4 point, not a 5, and the ALAC has not changed to a 5. We certainly didn't get the we will operate under 5 unless you tell us otherwise part of the conversation. So according to the ALAC records and from that part of the chartering body's half cohort, we are assuming that it's a 4 point, not a 5 point charter. Now, is it fixable? Yes. Right now, that's the state of play.
Okay, thank you very much. Alan.
Yeah, can someone remind us what the fifth one is before I make my comment?
I don't have it open in front of me.
Moment, I have it. Moment. Moment.
Honey,
moment.
If you
moment.
Have it open, please do.
I will read the fifth one. To identify conditions and mechanisms required to minimize the risk of inappropriate access to the sport. This is the number 5.
Okay.
On the wiki.
Gaming.
Okay. My recollection is very much that, well, the GNSO approved a 4.1 because Olaf made a mistake. That's simple. There's no question about that. We, the ALAC approved, as Cheryl said, the same one the GNSO did. We had this discussion in this meeting, and I recall the discussion saying, it doesn't matter if it's not there, we're going to do it anyway. I don't recall for sure if the GNSO made a conscious decision to just let it live as 4 and not bother changing it. I recall that conversation happened, but I have not found it in the minutes, so I may have imagined it. And that's where it stands. There is no question that everyone approved the 4. The only question is it necessary to go back and fix it? And my recollection is that our discussion was, we're going to do it anyway, let's not bother. I don't know if the GNSO consciously had that decision or not.
Okay, thank you. I'll come to Dejani in a second. Evan, I just wanted to fill you in, since I think you came in a little late. Dejani brought up a question as to, reading our charter, what's our charter? I see five bullets listed there, but I think we only approved 4. So we're trying to look at the history, and I guess we'll have to figure out what needs to be done. Tijani.
Okay, thank you. When we put our charter, we put 5 objectives. And I remember that ALAC approved the 5 objectives at the beginning. And then we was told that the GNSO approved another one with 4 objectives only. And ALAC followed and approved the 4 objectives charter. It's to make things easy. That's why ALAC don't argue. And now we come back to the 5 objectives because GNSO find that it was a mistake, and we have to follow again. What I don't understand is that we seem to be, if I didn't raise the point, we will still be with the 5 objectives in the ALAC, and with the 4 objectives in ALAC and 5 ALAC objectives in GNSO, and our wiki show the GNSO decision.
The ALAC decision is matched to what is on the record in the GNSO, and that is a 4 bullet point chart.
Okay. Okay, I've got Alan, and then what I would like to suggest is that our 2 liaisons get it fixed to Tijani and other satisfaction. I thought we were fine, but we obviously aren't. So, Alan, please.
Yeah, Cheryl's memory is correct. The only one ALAC ever formally approved was the 4. We thought we were talking about a 5 at that meeting,
yes.
But we thought. But during the meeting, I pointed out that the document it was pointing to, and it was pointing to the GNSO-approved one, only had four. And we later verified that, in fact, it had four by mistake. But nevertheless, we only formally approved the four, although at the time, many of the people on the call thought we were talking about the five.
And you were supposed to be talking about the five.
So we have been consistent with what the GNSO did. But both groups did not approve what they. Both groups did not formally approve what they thought they were approving at the time.
This is what I suggest, and unless anybody violently objects, or strongly, or strenuously, or whatever objects, we continue working with the five. I issue a request to both of our liaisons to please get it fixed to the five that we expected to have, that we recommended, and that we think they both at least tacitly approved, if not formally, and ask the liaisons to fix it, since it needs to be fixed. I thought we were fine operating as we were, but we obviously aren't. So, Carlos, please.
Yes, I present the five bullets in the two ALAC teleconference, but we have a confusion in both. Teleconference, because GNSO not approve or at this moment, at that moment, not approve the five bullets. So we wait that GNSO approve. If necessary, I present again the last bullet, the charter, in order to ALAC approve definitely this point.
Okay, thank you. And Rafiq, I don't know what you can do. I know you're already too late for next week's GNSO meeting, since the agendas had to be in days ago, I think the 31st. But what can happen in the, since we need to get it fixed, since working on the fifth bullet, as understood, is not good enough for all the members. We need to get it fixed. So what can we do to fix it?
Maybe I'm not sure. Maybe I can try to bring the issue in the next GNSO Council conf call. But, so
can you talk to Chuck about it? Can you talk to Chuck about it and see what he recommends?
Yeah, that's it. We'll talk. Yeah.
Although he's on vacation for the next couple days, but still. Okay, do we need to do anything else?
He said he may have very limited connectivity.
Right, yeah. I guess I have a question. Does anybody in this group object to working on the five bullets until such time as we hear from one of our chartering organizations that we may not? Okay, hearing no objection, we'll keep the issue on the table, keep asking the liaisons to please get it fixed. I think that if ALAC was willing to approve the five and send a note back to the GNSO saying, hey, there was a mistake, it was supposed to be five, we approved the fifth, you know, you guys do the same, that would work also. But anyhow, if between the liaisons and the chairs of the chartering organization something can happen to make the charter consistent with what we believe it should be, that would be helpful.
Okay. May I suggest that whoever meets first approve the five charter pending approval by the sister organization? So we're at any given time we're working on a single charter. But that will work, I believe.
That's the resolution, Alan, we have already had in place the second time it came into our agenda.
No, but I'm saying we approve the...
For our agenda, I will be taking a very dim view of the amount of time it's taken. And it may not even make my agenda, because I have had this go through no less than two XCOM and two full meetings. Each time we have said we will match what is in the record for the GNSO resolution. So when it changes, so will we.
So basically, you'll change automatically when the GNSO has changed.
Correct.
Okay. So it really does sound like the ball is in the GNSO's court. So
yep.
Rafiq, see if we can't get this fixed somehow, please. And I'll work with you talking to Chuck, but this is just sort of silly. But anyway.
Yep.
Okay. So should we move on? Okay. Carla, could you bring up the document, the review document, into the page? I see the snapshot at the moment, not the other.
Okay. Just 1 second, please.
Yeah, I guess, just while that's happening, I guess the mistake is mine, sending a note to the GNSO saying, hey, you guys forgot the fifth bullet. We're operating under the condition that the fifth bullet has been left out purely by mistake, and if we don't hear from you that we're wrong, we will continue, and expecting that sort of passive procedure to be sufficient. But since it isn't sufficient for everyone, that was a mistake on my part. So I apologize for being the cause of all this to-do.
Avery, I uploaded the August 30th version of the final report.
No, but I wanted the current draft of the review responses.
It was there. She changed
it
now.
It was there.
That's weird, because what I see is the snapshot. That's interesting.
Okay, now it's back. Public comment, summary and analysis, and that is the version August 31st.
Okay, I don't know why I'm seeing the wrong document.
Can you just refresh, maybe?
Bye. There, I see it now. Okay, my fault again. I should just retire from this chair and stop making mistakes. Okay. So we have the section here on public comment, summary, and analysis. And we're just basically the source of the text. I doubt there's much comment with that one. Any comment on that? Then the next is an overview of listing how many comments there were from 8 different parties. I suppose that when we finish with the comments from the non-English language, by the way, where does that stand at the moment? Then there may be some additional names added here, correct? Carla, do you know where we stand with the non-English language review? That should have ended by now, correct?
The public comment ended, and we have not received any additional comment.
So there were no additional non-English language comments?
No additional non-English
language comments. Then I would add a note to this. Oh, no, you did have that. Oh, that's already in here. That's the second bullet. You might want to indicate in that second bullet that there were no additional comments received in that extended public comment period, just to make sure that that is recorded. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so then there's the 13 submissions. Then 3.3 starts to go through the summary of comments and the working group discussion. So comment 3.3.1 is from the African community. Does everybody have, and by the way, thank you very much for numbering this document also. Makes life so much easier. So the comment from the African community goes from 177 through to 224. And then there's and I don't suppose there's much comment on that. If there are any mistakes in that, I'd ask somebody to point those out to Carla off list, but I don't think it's anything we need to discuss. It's either right or it's wrong. But correct me if I'm wrong, I see no hands. So then in 225, we start with the working group discussion summary. Should I read that, or should... Yes, Tijani, you've got your hand up.
Yes, please. Regarding the working group discussion about the African statement, we have, I don't have the number of the lines, but the second paragraph or the working group believes the report could indeed, etc. So, and
starting at 228.
Yes, in the third line, in the fourth line, third line, the proposal is to have the ethical and linguistic groups as a starting point. We discussed this point, and we did not agree with it, and we removed it from our report. So in this comment, in this working group discussion, we have to remove it also.
Okay. As I said to you online, I believe that we still, and perhaps you're right, but I believe that we still have we haven't settled yet that has indeed been undone. So please go ahead and ask other people to comment. But I'm disputing that we have as a group decided that. I know some people have argued that, but I believe some other people have argued something otherwise.
Yes.
Good time now to find out what is the case.
Yes. Yes, so we don't have to put the working group believes that.
Well, at the time that this was written, that was the case. You have been arguing very strongly and in a very erudite manner that should not be the case, but I'm not sure that the group has gotten there with you yet.
Do you want to organize a ballot to see if the working group...
Not one
of us. It's fantastic, because during our call, all people on the call said, yes, we don't have to restrict our help to a category. And then I received on the mailing list a lot of support to this direction. So and yet now you say, no, it's only your point of view. It's not my point of view. It's the point of view of a lot of people on the guard.
Excuse me, Tijani. I didn't say it was only your point of view. I said it's a point of view that you have been arguing quite strongly and quite well, and I'm not positive that the whole group is with you yet. I didn't say it was only your point of view. So please, and so let's check it now. No, I don't want to have a ballot. I mean, Evan and I can discuss whether we want to have ballots at this point. The way I've been seeing it is if everyone or if most of the people in the group agree with you, then it is removed. If some people still disagree, then we'll have to add a note later saying, while most people felt that A, some people still felt that B. This is where we start to divide whether we have full consensus or whether we have partial consensus or whether we have strong support or a mixed view. And on this issue, I'm still trying to determine what is the case. I see Richard Tyndall has his hand up. Please. Or to Johnny, I don't want to cut you off. Were you finished?
Okay, it's okay.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure we'll come back to you.
Avery, quick point of order. This is Evan.
Yes, Evan.
As I'm seeing from the Adobe chat, there's still a couple of people that aren't even sure what it is we're debating, whether or not we have consensus on.
Okay. Thank you. The line is line 230, 231. The proposal is to have ethnic and linguistic groups as a starting point. Basically, the debate that's been going on both here and in the report, and Tijani may be right, I may be the only person that doesn't understand that the group has consensus on his point of view, was that we were no longer either using as a starting point or as a method of discriminating applications from each other or giving any preference to any specific type of application. What was in the report and what is in this response implies that there still is a group consensus on there being a starting point, there being some form of narrowing of the funnel. Now, it is obviously the case that there is no consensus on that because Tijani and others are quite strong on saying, no, we don't agree with that. What I'm arguing, and so Tijani is right, this sentence does need to be changed. What I'm maintaining is that I am not sure that there is a consensus in the opposite direction yet.
Got it.
Okay. Richard, please.
Yeah, thanks for that, Avery. So, yeah, I guess my view here, my sort of working presumption is that there's not going to be enough support to cover all of the types of support we're asking for. So I feel like we do need to prioritize in some way. I think we need to give the staff some indication of, you know, if there is not enough support to cover all of these different types, which as a group do we think has the highest priority. So I guess I'm agreeing with you, Avery. I think we do need some sort of indication, you know, where the initial support would go to. And if there is enough support for everyone, then it's a moot point. But I think we need to, in the report, we need to give them some guidance.
Thank you. Just to make sure, I'm not actually arguing one position or the other at the moment. I'm just arguing that there's a difference of opinion. But thank you. Anyone else wish to comment? Okay. So what I think, okay, Elaine, yes, please.
Thanks. I'm on the same page as Richard. I think we need to focus our efforts to a more narrow category than anyone that could possibly need support, which we haven't even identified where that support would come from or if there is actually any support. So I think we do need to specify funnel, as you said. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Richard, I see your hand still up. Is that you would like to add a comment?
No.
Okay, I see Eric Bruner-Williams has added a comment. Please add cultural. So I think we still have an issue open here, and we need to figure out how to say. At the moment, I see that there's support on both sides, both for limiting it with some discussion as to what is included in the limitation. Is it ethnic, linguistic, and cultural? Does it go beyond that? Or, you know, or is that not the case, as argued by Tijani and others? It is not limited. And so the issue remains open. At the moment, I don't know. I don't have a good indication. Maybe Evan can see it more clearly than I do, that we have the consensus falling on either side yet. At the moment, it seems to be a split opinion on limiting versus not limiting to whom we give support. What I would suggest that you do, Carla, not change the document, but put in brackets that statement. And as when you uncolor thing, bracket that statement as something, and basically put, we need to put something in there that indicates that there's still a division. And if we can't resolve the division, what we'll need to do is to add to this report a paragraph in this section to say, on the question of limiting versus not limiting, the working group was split, or there was consensus for A, but strong, you know, support for B. And we need to figure out what the case is. I see Richard has raised his hand again. Thank you.
Yeah, just a quick clarification on what I said a moment ago. I'm not proposing limiting in any way. I'm proposing prioritizing.
Okay. And Elaine, is prioritizing the right word for you also?
Sure, if there's... Well, I guess that was part of the discussion we had on the call last week, wasn't it? Where Johnny was arguing that one wouldn't have priority over another. But I think if there's limited funds, then yes, we should prioritize two groups that are underrepresented on the Internet. I think we decided that ethnic and linguistic and cultural groups were the most easily identifiable underrepresented groups on the Internet.
Avery, can I make a suggestion? We do have the availability to do informal polls using Doodle, where we can ask a question and ask for a couple of different answers of what might indicate, do people want the clause as is? Do they want it changed from starting point to prioritization? Or do they want it as Tijani wants? I think we can do we've been able to do on these calls using the check marks and X's, but there's more people on the mailing list than there are on this call. So, I mean, there are ways to do informal polls and get a preponderance of the feeling of the group.
Certainly, if you wish to. I tend to personally be uncomfortable with those, seeing that in other groups we have done polls and then everybody has argued about the meaning of the poll, and tends to find that it works better just to have people try to find consensus on language, and if we can't, to list the opinions that have support. But if you would like to run a poll, and especially since over the next 2 weeks I'm going to be plenty scarce, I certainly don't object to it. Yes, Andrew, and Elaine has her hand up also. So Andrew and then Elaine.
Just a quick thought. One is, I think it may be a little complex for a doodle poll. I don't know who put that up, but I think that that's right. The second thing is, I was just going to throw this back to Johnny. I think everybody wants the same thing. The only concern is that we might end up with too few resources for everyone who might be technically able to apply. So in a situation, in your mind, to Johnny, if that were the case, is there another way to deal with this, if not to have some sort of a starting point? Maybe there's another way we just haven't thought of that you have in your mind.
Johnny, did you want to answer that before I go to Elaine, or would you prefer to just listen to Elaine's comment, and then I'll come to you?
Let Elaine speak.
Okay, please, Elaine.
So I'm just looking at our charter, and objective one is that we were supposed to identify suitable criteria that new applicants must fulfill to qualify for dedicated support. And so I think when we started down that path, that criteria would be need, which is seems to be taking the forefront of this part of our paper, where we're saying anyone that has need could qualify for support. So I think we tried to narrow that down with the ethnic and linguistic, because it was the most easily identifiable type of applicant. I'm afraid that if we just say need without any sort of priority, then there's no guidance or directive from our group, and we're sort of leaving it up to whoever ends up in charge of this to distribute the resources to whichever needy party they see fit, because we haven't actually given any sort of qualifications on that.
Thank you. Tijani.
Yes. As it was written at the beginning, the text says that there is a category, which is linguistic and ethic, that have all the advantages to get support, and all the other categories don't have any advantage to get it, and we will deal with them in the next rounds or in the next steps. This means that there is a rejection of all the categories but the ethic and linguistic category, which I can't accept. Perhaps what I proposed is not the good text. It's not a problem. I don't speak about my text. I speak about the idea, not to reject people from this possibility of support, because you may have an applicant which is really in need of the support, and which have, I don't know, a string about a cultural community. It is a cultural community that want to have a string, and they are really in need of the support. We will reject them because we said only linguistic ethic. You see? So that's the problem. That's my problem. My problem, I don't want to focus on one category and reject the others. Prioritize, yes, we can say perhaps we can have a certain priority to a certain categories, perhaps. But we can't reject the others. It's impossible.
It sounds to me, and I'll come to the hands in a second, but we've got the beginnings of the sort of a place where perhaps we can find consensus, in that I heard Richard and then Elaine perhaps a little bit more grudgingly accept the notion of prioritization. And if you're willing to accept the prioritization notion so that everyone is on the list but certain come first in case of priority, perhaps there's language we can find that works for both sets of opinions. And I've got Andrew and then Elaine. Andrew.
Avery, I thought that was essentially what we had in the early in an earlier version of this. There was never any attempt to keep out other people, only to set it up as a priority. So I don't know where the which version of the old language is around, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it says. So if Tijani is okay with it, I think we are at a consensus.
Right.
I don't think anybody's tried to keep out other groups, only to make sure that if we have too limited an amount of funds, that we start with some identifiable group that we can work with.
Right. It just may be that the language is not there yet for him to see it. For example, when he read starting point can be identified as in the first round, or it can be identified as earliest places on the prioritization list.
Okay.
So,
I remember what we one of
right,
we
I,
did
yeah.
have this conversation prior to or around. Brussels, and I thought we had language that people were comfortable with, that's all.
Well, I guess we don't see the language now, so perhaps we can work on getting some language that says this to, in a way that's satisfactory to both, you know, both elements, both those that believe there's a need to have a priority and some first, and those that are willing to accept the priority as long as everything is on the list. And so we basically need to reword both this comment and make sure the document is worded just so that it works that way. So I see no hands up. So is that accepted? Now we just need to know who's going to get the wording right. Prioritization instead of limitation. So for now, I would say bracket this text. I would see if anyone has any suggestion for text, both in this comment and in the main document, to make sure that this point is clear. Because I think this is actually one of the you know, 2-3 points, maybe 4 points we have where there's still, I felt, a little bit of misunderstanding between various positions. So it'd be good if we could get that one knocked out. Prioritization in both review comments and
Avery?
Yes, Tijani.
Also, in the working group discussion about the African statement, and the fourth bullet point, we are speaking about the first round, and this is to be revised in the future rounds. So, as I said in the previous calls, we don't have anything to say there will be other rounds, and the way the round is organized shows that the spirit is only for one single round for a limited number of applications, and the fact that I can want to have the cost recovery from this round means that they perhaps don't think about other rounds. So we don't have to speak about rounds. The resolution didn't speak about rounds. Our work is for the upcoming round.
I don't understand your point. I don't understand the... I mean, yes, we are working on now for this round. I don't understand why we need to remove the notion that, you know, and make everybody believe that there won't be future rounds. I guess I'm confused by that point, and you've made it several times, but it confuses me.
Because you are building on something that you don't know. We are building on something that we don't know.
We don't even know there'll be a first round.
Pardon?
We don't really even know there'll be a first round. If what we're talking about is what we do and don't know, we don't know anything about what's going to be decided tomorrow or the day after.
No. I am speaking about the rounds, Now we have the board give us a mission to define ways to help the applicants for the upcoming round. We don't, our interest is for the upcoming round. I don't want to say, to call it first or second or last. It is the upcoming one, we work on it. We don't work on the others because we don't know if there will be others.
Yes, Alan.
As you point out, we don't know exactly when or if there'll be a first round, but regardless of that, there is discussion of a second round. If you'll remember correctly, ICANN has spent a lot more money than they forecast when they set the price because we've taken another 2 years to do the work, and ICANN has said very clearly they're amortizing that cost over future rounds instead of trying to write off the development costs in the first round. So whether there will be a second round or not, I have no crystal ball. But at this point, the intent is to keep on doing this if it doesn't kill us first. So let's not spend a lot of time debating whether there's going to be a second round or not.
Thank you. One thing I don't understand is what it changes in this document. Elaine.
Yeah, I disagree that we shouldn't talk about second rounds or later rounds because the way the applicant guidebook is written and the communications coming out of ICANN is that there will be more than one round, and the board resolution doesn't say for this particular round, but it says for applying for and operating new GTLDs. I've cut and pasted the resolution in the chat window. So I think that means when you apply for and operate a new GTLD today, next week, next year, 10 years from now. So it's defined differently.
Thank you. Tijani, to come back to you, was there anything specific you were saying we had to change because of this viewpoint?
It's in the working group in the working group discussion summary about.
Okay. What lines are you?
It's I don't have the lines unfortunately. It's the fourth bullet point. The recommendation to support ethnic, etc. You see.
247.
Voilà. Thank you.
Okay.
So 247, recommendations for ethnic and linguistic groups is valid for the first round. Okay, well, first of all, this would have to change based on it would be the recommendation to give priority to ethnic, linguistic, and cultural groups is valid for the first round but needs to be revisited on future rounds. Would that work better for you?
Yes.
And we'd still mention, and if we put in revisited in possible future rounds to sort of show that we're all not putting faith that there will be future rounds, but we admit that they're possible. So would adding the word possible in there help, and changing it from recommendation to support change to the recommendation to prioritize?
Yes, for the last words, yes. But at the beginning of that, valid for the first round. They said that the recommendation to support ethnic and linguistic group is valid for the first round.
Right. Well, what I was suggesting is this recommendation to prioritize ethnic, linguistic, and cultural groups is valid for the first round, but this is to be revised in possible future rounds. This is still the first round, even if there's never a second. But would you prefer for the current round as opposed to the first?
Okay, I prefer to put them under in brackets the whole sentence here because we have to rethink the prioritization text so that we can reflect it on this comment, if you don't mind.
I have no problem with putting a sentence
between brackets.
Sentence between brackets, but I also will write down my recommended text up in the notes place just so we have a reference of one possible change. Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay. Well, so bracket. Yes, Carla.
I just wanted to make sure that I captured this discussion correctly. So lines 231 to 232, what I have is that the question on limiting prioritizing versus not doing that, the working group was split, is the purpose prioritize and not limit, and the fact that we need still to work on the language here. That's all
yes.
I have.
Right.
Right?
And we have to bracket. And I'm putting in the notes what I think we're deciding so that people can actually see it. So I say sentence, bracket, 245, 246. I know it's semi-incoherent. One possible change, the recommendation is
247.
For the, did I get the lines wrong? 245 through 247, yes. Is valid for the current round.
Yeah, on I have the 247-248 Avery, and what I have is the recommendation to prioritize to support ethnic and linguistic groups is valid for the first round, but this is to be revisited in possible future rounds.
That's one possible change, but that is also a bracketed change. So basically,
okay.
Within the bracket, we have the sentence as it's written here, then I've offered one possible change, and then the recommendation to prioritize ethnic, linguistic, and cultural groups is valid for the current round, in possible future rounds. So that's one other possibility, but as Tijani quite rightly said, in the whole discussion of how we reword things for the prioritization, let's leave this one bracketed for now, just so. Does anyone object to the fact that I have added cultural in the prioritization value as suggested by Eric? I see no objection. I see only Carla's hand by. Okay. So we'll sort of accept that insofar as we do prioritize, it's not only ethnic and linguistic, but it's also cultural. And I see Carlos saying, I think our recommendations are for the first round and all future rounds. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Carlos, that the sentence as I'm suggesting, which is just a suggestion at this point, covers that. That, yes, it's for the current round, and then assuming that there are future rounds, it would need to be re-looked at, but that doesn't mean it's thrown out. So, and I have Richard with his hand up.
Yes. Good was the inclusion of the word cultural. I don't think that we've defined that anywhere in the paper unless I missed it. So do we have a sense of what we mean by the term a cultural applicant?
I don't think so.
Okay, so perhaps Aaron,
someone who speaks with a nice accent.
That would be you, Alan.
Right. Yeah, I've never been cultured. So we'll need to find more definition of that, and so I've put that in bracket for now since there's some question on it. But you're more questioning how we define it, not that we include it, but how is it defined before we understand how it's included.
Yeah, I think it would be useful for the reader.
Although I must admit, if I let myself be philosophical, I question ethnic also. We're all ethnic. Ethnic presumes there's a normal and that everyone else is ethnic. So I've always had problems with that word, but I understand what you mean. So we also have an issue there. Okay. These are things that we need to work on the list, try and get wording through. Any other issues with through 254? Other than the issues that have been brought up, which is prioritization as opposed to restriction or limitation, and the presumption about current rounds and future rounds. Okay, in which case we can move on to the next comment. We have the one from George Kirikos saying that we don't value his input, and therefore he's not going to comment. Proposed.
And my comment, Avery, is that George made the same comments to the draft applicant guidebook and others. He just reinstated this comment in several public forums.
Yeah, well, I don't think we need to deal with how else he put it elsewhere. I think if we want to reply to it, we should. And let's see, you know. And it says here, Jazz Working Group believes that community participation input is very important for the development of proposals in, or for a proposal in, well, the phrasing needs help, related to the new GTO, the applicant support. Regarding the working group memberships, the process adopted was open and flexible, accommodating members around the world, including late additions, in addition to an open participation in the working group. And then it goes on June 16th, posted preliminary findings. On June 23rd, held a public workshop. All comments received were considered for the development of the final report. I think it says a lot, but I think in general it's fine. Does anybody object to that other than some rewording for sentence structure and readability? Okay, see no comments. Yes?
I would simply add all substantive comments.
Well, we've even considered this one, though. But yes, okay.
I always like doing that because I don't remember if we got any spam, but there's often a bunch of spam and things like that, so I tend to word it that way, but
so add
maybe it's style.
Comments in 272, and then basically I would drop 261 and 262. Anyone object to that? And as it doesn't really matter what other groups are doing. I mean, it matters to, in general, but in terms of our duty to respond, I don't think it matters. And then just, readability cleanup for 263 through 272. Okay, anything else on that one? And other than the fact that I'm including typos galore in the notes. Any other comments on that one? Okay. Moving on. 274, we're at 333 from Newstar and Black Knight Solutions on the agreement that support should be provided for certain GTLD applicants in some limited cases. Basically, Newstar went through various points that it agreed with in some limited circumstances, support staggered fee approach, given the challenge posted by a minimum annual fee of, for some disadvantaged applicants, Newstar supports elimination or reduction. Working groups' proposed initial qualification criteria are appropriate, targeting certain communities, geographies, and languages, but some additional thought should be given to the evaluation process for applicants wishing to participate, including timing and resources required. Newstar intends to participate in the program by providing support. Black Knight Solutions, and I have Richard with his hand up. I can't seem to think that TLDs and new regime need to be slotted in the one-size-fits-all scenario, and goes on. So our discussion was working group acknowledges that applicants can benefit from a broad range of assistance, including logistical outreach, technical administrative application, et cetera. Working group proposal is not a stage O address. The details, I'm not quite sure what that should say, of how the proposal will be implemented and how the various parties interested in helping this initiative would be involved. So it's basically not a staging. Well, anyway, that obviously phrase needs to be fixed up. Yes, Richard?
Yeah, just a quick general observation. When Newstar says that they intend to provide support and participate, I think that's a great thing. I think it's very likely what they mean by that is that they would provide some sort of infrastructure assistance. And I just wanted to make the general observation of the group. I think that we will see that from quite a lot of the infrastructure providers, not just Newstar. Others didn't make that comment, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see a number of the more established infrastructure guys do provide some sort of support for the type of applicants we're talking about. So just an observation.
Richard, I have a question for you regarding that observation. Is that something we should, A, comment on in the review, first of all, saying, you know, we're quite gratified to hear that Newstar and others, would help in that manner, or is it something we should leave alone?
I guess my opinion is that it wouldn't hurt at all to acknowledge what Newstar said. I don't think we should. The others haven't formally said that I'm aware of. So perhaps we shouldn't say "and others," but
okay.
Yeah, I think it would be a good idea to acknowledge what they said.
Does anybody object to adding a line to our comment saying that we are gratified to read NuSTAR's commitment to assist in this process.
And we encourage others to follow the lead.
Okay. We are gratified to read of commitment.
Avery, this is Carla. I'm capturing the changes.
Okay, I'm just writing notes just so, and the other part was and others and encourage.
Okay.
Dot. Just so we've got it in two places and encourage. Okay, great. And I see a check from Tijani. Elaine, please.
Yeah, so in line 302, Black Knight says that they're willing to offer services too. So I don't know if we should point out NuSTAR and then say and others. Possibly just say, you know, we're grateful that several providers have come forward and offered services.
Right. So we could either do NuSTAR and Black Knight, you know, or we could do the several providers. What do people think? Anybody really care?
NuSTAR.
Okay, I'm told that my mic has slipped again. So it's a new mic, so it's nothing wrong with the mic. It's me. Always me. Okay. So, I actually, personally, and this is personally, I think thanking the people that actually said it and encouraging others probably goes the furthest. Elaine, would you object to that as a way of doing it?
No, I'm just saying if you do say NuSTAR, please say Black Knight.
Right, yes. You're quite
should
right.
Be consistent. Okay. I think putting in the names is probably more likely to get more names out there.
Right. Okay, so it's basically a gratified to read of NuSTAR and Black Knight, you know, commitment. Okay, great. Carla?
Okay, so I'm including NuSTAR and Black Knight.
Right. Okay, anything else on this one before we move on? Okay, then we're down to line 310. We have 334 from the American Red Cross and dealing with not-for-profit organizations, request that ICANN set lower costs, and then support for the recommendations. And the response shows up at 383. The working group has discussed the issue and agrees that the simple fact that an entity holds a nonprofit status does not mean this entity is financially unable to cover the fees and meets the need criterion. The working group further acknowledges that the Red Cross notion of nonprofit refers to charitable and service organizations who attempt to keep the overhead as low as possible so that most of their funding can go to the victims they are meant to help. The most important criterion is need. The most important criterion is need. And saying, more important than the intention of the string. The form structure of the applicant is not as relevant at this point. The intent is for the initial round, and, of course, there's the same bracketing of the initial round, probably for the current round if we adopt that phrasing, to focus and narrow the support to ethnic linguistic, and then we're still talking about the possibility of cultural communities, since this is a less controversial grouping. So this one would have to be changed in the same manner to deal with current round and prioritization as opposed to narrower focus, and will likely generate political support for this initiative. So that phrase in 391-393 definitely needs to be reworked because of the other conclusions that we've already come to.
Exactly.
And if I'm wrong to anticipate these comments, please jot me down. Also, these potential applicants have the benefits of being relatively well-defined as groups and pass the test of being generally non-controversial. That sentence is probably also problematic given that the prioritization approach. Such communities already have a history of recognition at ICANN and facilitating community. So I would say that from 391, to 397 is possibly problematic and maybe should be dropped. What do people think? Elaine has her hand up.
I thought we were moving back to this position that prioritization is okay, and we've got this threaded through our whole document, so I find it brain warping to want to change our entire document that we've spent many, many weeks developing when I'm not sure that that's exactly what we've agreed to.
Okay, thanks. Perhaps I'm wrong. I was thinking that by going with a prioritization and by people agreeing to prioritization as opposed to a limitation, then language that said that somebody was less controversial than another, I don't know, does it fit as well? I guess I asked the question, and so I thought that followed from the decision to come to a compromise between limitation and no limitation by working with priority. But yes, Elaine.
Okay, so the last line, the working group believes it's reasonable to have prioritization criteria among qualifying individuals.
You're right.
I think we're talking about the Red Cross was asking that they not be of a lower priority than ethnic or linguistic communities. So we're defending our position here that ethnic linguistic communities would have priority because they're easier to define, blah, 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 all the reasons we listed out. I'm very hesitant to remove any of that logic unless we're totally going to change our position.
Okay. So basically what you'd be recommending is to reword that section in the comments with regard to prioritization. So it would be like the intent is for the current round to prioritize support for. Would you still say, because it's a less controversial thing, or would you drop that phrase? So you would say rewarding, and of course you're right, 396, 397, on believing it's reasonable to have prioritization should stay in.
I think maybe instead of removing the language that we have in place, maybe we can add some language suggesting that we're not limiting support to only ethnic linguistic communities, but that they have priority. Seems that the real problem here is there's some interpretation that saying we're prioritizing means we're limiting accessibility to support to other groups, which in the case of limited resources, we would be, but if there are not limited resources, then our priorities still exist, but it doesn't exclude an NGO or the Red Cross or even a for-profit entrepreneur from having access.
Carla, do you have an idea on how to reword this from the discussion so far?
So what I have is that the prioritization does not exclude other groups. I just added the sentence saying the prioritization does not exclude other groups. And in the beginning I said the intent is for the initial round to prioritize support to ethnic linguistic communities since it is a less controversial group and it will likely generate political support for this initiative.
Okay. Is there any objection to leaving that sentence as is, as quoted? Tijani, yes.
I propose that we don't do anything on those comments. We put them under brackets, and we first rework our text on the final report. And when we agree on it, we can touch these comments because we will not review it during the call. It will be very long, and every word, as you know, has his weight. So the better is to rework our final report and then come back to this comment.
Yeah.
Okay, I would recommend starting to include some of the possible changes that were discussed here all within the bracketed domain, just so we have it. One of the things, though, that I'm hoping is that by going from the comments back to the document, we're not going to wait until we get back to the document to resolve all of the issues. that we're finding the resolution to them in discussing our comments, our comment responses. So, okay, we'll come back to this, but remembering that there's not that long before we have to get our draft out, and that's something that we probably should discuss as to what we're delivering on the 13th.
Yes.
Okay.
Aubrey.
Yes.
Aubrey, this is Carla. Just as a clarification point, the text that you see here, it's really a combination of notes from me and Aubrey, and so I put everything there. It's not the final consensus, so I didn't really change much of what was discussed. It's just really a reflection of the discussion summary.
Right. Yeah, okay, thanks. Yeah, and what we need to do is sort of condense it into something that, A, the group agrees with, and B, is readable. So I think that's the process we're going through now, but thank you very much. I think this gave us a lot to be able to look at and you know, help narrow our focus on what we're talking about. Any other comments on this discussion? So this text is bracketed for the moment. The intention is that it will remain in some form, but that the language will be reworked such that it matches what we end up doing in terms of prioritization in the recommendation. Any other comments through 397? Okay. Moving on to 399, 335 from the Arab team. The government supports prohibition is overbroad, and the financial instrument requirement in case of registry failure is major barrier to entry. And then it explains its reasons for this. What we have is working group believes the report could indeed be further clarified. The group understands the terminology used could be confusing. Nevertheless, it is not the intent of the working group to propose that governments do not qualify or cannot participate to receive support. I'm confused at that sentence. I didn't believe we were allowing for a government to receive support. Nevertheless, it is a consensus of the working group that the support should not be used to subsidize a largely and purely government initiative. That said, if the proposal requesting assistance is majority government finding or majority government sponsor, it does not qualify. So the first sentence needs to be changed. I think something's proposed that if governments are involved, then it does not qualify, because that's what we're trying to say, not that governments would qualify. The working group acknowledges that this is a complex issue, particularly for the first round, and of course we'll probably end up changing that to current round, and raises important questions such as, are governments part of the needy group? How should a government-led initiative be defined? The proposed implementation details might require further details that address definition of projects in terms of persons, percentages, which would lead to a difficult, potentially controversial implementation process. The group reached a consensus that the current proposal should stay as it is, with additional clarification that an applicant with government funding might qualify for support. However, the support is not intended for applications that are primarily government financed and supported. The working group also agrees that it would be better if the program was multilingual, but it is difficult to implement in this round since it would require a major revamping of ICANN's processes and operations. ICANN needs to ensure that informational materials are available in multiple languages. The working group further acknowledges that part of the support can be offered to applicants is assistance with English applications and contracts. Comments other than some rewording being needed to match what's being done elsewhere and for readability. No comments? Okay. Move on, leaving that one essentially as it is. We have 18 minutes left to this call. 441 from Danny Younger. NGO domain proposal, the time is right for a new general organizational category, TLD, managed by IANA. And it goes on to explain. And then there's first two bullets speak of the NGO domain, aggregating a class under CLD, still dealing with that. The contingency fund is more than ample to fund Diana's new duties. So it's basically arguing for the NGO domain approach throughout. Working group discussion summary. The working group believes the report could indeed be further clarified. Okay, I'm not sure.
Actually, Avery, we had this. We had a discussion on this about in the North American RALO about this, because Danny presented it to North American at large, and it's an apples and oranges kind of thing. He's suggesting having a single NGO PLD under which legitimate NGOs would get a free second level domain. That issue might have merit, but it seems totally out of the scope of what we're doing.
Yeah, and thank you. And yeah, as I started to read the answer, it confused me because I was expecting an answer that said something like, this is out of scope for us, you know. And so does anyone object to replacing what's here with basically saying, you know,
is out of scope?
This sort of proposal is out of scope for this group. Thank you very much for your comment. No objection?
It's Alan. I think we could elaborate just a little bit more, because indeed, if we believed that, you know, ICANN should create on of its own volition an NGO domain, fund it fully, and then give free access, free second-level domains to all NGOs, that is a way of helping NGOs participate in getting websites. It's not clear that a second-level domain under NGO is equivalent in people's minds to a first-level domain. Otherwise, perhaps .org should have been sufficient. Although it might be a way of helping some people, it is not... it is not giving them top-level domains, which is what our charter was.
But, Alan, the whole issue of, as you say, getting a second-level domain within .org is not a substantial barrier to entry.
And presumably anyone who's thinking of getting a top-level domain at all already has a second-level domain somewhere. So, specifically, we are looking at top-level domains for whatever the status or benefits there are associated with them. So from that perspective, I think it might help at some theoretical level, but it's not what we're asked to do. So I'm not disagreeing with the out of scope. I'm just saying a little bit of elaboration may make it a more satisfactory answer than simply saying, go away.
Can you suggest a sentence that we would include? I'm not saying right now. Could you, send an email with a sentence?
That
would be longer than my recommended, you know, this is out of scope, thank you for your comment. I think, you know, and if you've got a statement that others are comfortable with, I think that's fine.
I'll put it on my to-do list.
Thank you very much. I'm sure it's a very, very long list from the number of things I hear you get committed to in other meetings.
So, Avery, this is Carla. So
yeah.
For now, I have removed all of the wording that is there, and I say this is out of scope of this working group, pending Alan's addition to it.
Exactly. Thank you. And is that okay with everyone? Okay. And now we get to... Are we over? Nope, we have another one from Danny. On 491-337, ongoing costs in the event of registry failure assistance measures. And several points. And the comment here is, believes this comment is not directly related to the proposal. Do people agree with that, or do people think that it is related in any way, or are people comfortable with the comment as it stands?
I'm trying to remember what the comment, what his comment, the substance of his comment was.
The substance of his comment,
and it keeps
on moving
on the screen.
The beginning of the several bullets. The failover plan calls for a time frame of highly limited duration, 30 to 90 days. The failover plan is completely at odds with the DAG's requirement for a financial surety instrument to guarantee continuity of critical registry functions for 3 to 5 years subsequent to a registry failure. The first step in reducing the financial instrument requirement has already been taken. key statement from ICANN staff regarding benchmarking of registry operations.
Actually, this particular comment is not as irrelevant. It's actually in line with the one from the Arab group further up that we went past. Essentially, it's cost-related, because if it's cost recovery, ICANN is requiring, what both of these comments are saying is that ICANN is requiring too much money up front to amortize some of the registry failure potentials. That's how I read it.
That's pretty much why I asked the question. Okay, thank you. Tijani, I see your hand up.
Yes, I don't think that it is out of our scope. It is exactly inside our interest, because as he explained, it is a barrier to the entry for the needy applicants. So as he explained, the registry failure. The registry failure insurance, if you want, of 3 to 5 years, it's very long, and it costs a lot for the applicants. So it's one of the barriers that we have to remove, and it's our mission to remove barriers.
Okay, thank you. I've got Elaine.
So I do think this registry failover plan is bit over the top for every new GTLD applicant. And what I'm wondering is, if we include this recommendation in our work, does that mean only those that qualify for support should have this discount applied, or a less of a requirement made for failover? I don't think that's technically accurate. I think everybody should sort of have the same failover plan in place. I'm just concerned that if we do add this, and it seems like we would add this to the Working Group 1 recommendations, that would be very clear that we're not saying that only our applicants should have this privilege. So I don't know if that then muddies the waters and makes it outside of our scope.
Thank you. I think that
Elaine, this is Andrew. I'm not sure I understood you. Are you suggesting that this is something that we should apply for everyone, not just parts of this working group?
Yeah, I mean, there have been many comments posted on the most recent applicant guidebook that the registry failover and the financial instrument requirements were beyond what is really necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And what's currently used. So that's already being discussed in the bigger picture. And so I'm wondering if we add it to our recommendations, if that then indicates that we think that our applicants should have that privilege. But if we do add it to our recommendations, I think we should make it clear that we're not saying that our applicants would necessarily logistically require less of a failover plan. Sorry, I'm sort of thinking while I'm saying this, so I hope I'm not too obtuse in my explanation.
Thank you. I think I understood. And one of the things that also comes up, and I'll get to the hands at the moment because we've got three of them up and very few minutes left, is that there's two possible ways to respond to this. One of them is to say this is a good recommendation for the general, applicant pool, and we have taken the following measures, which whatever measures we have taken, we list. Or, as you suggest, one could say we adopt this plan. I don't know that there isn't just one answer to it. I have Richard, Allen, and then Tijani, and that will probably end up almost using up our time. Go ahead, Richard.
Richard. Yeah, I don't think, just to start, I don't think there's a fundamental logical disconnect between the registry failover plan and the financial instrument. I think the failover plan was really more developed for the existing registries that sort of are established and have business plans, whereas this financial instrument of 3 years is specifically for new players. All that said, I agree that I think 3 years is too much for any applicant. It's a barrier to affordability, and it's, to me, sort of overkill. To the question that, so I think it should be less than 3 years. What it is it 1 year, is it 18 months? I don't know, but I think it should be less. To Elaine's point, I do think that we will be more successful if we make an argument that this should be reduced for all applicants, not just needy applicants, because if we say it's just for needy applicants, then I think we have to explain why this particular type of applicant, why there's sort of less risk, or we would have to provide some rationale for why it was just our subgroup that was subject to any reduction.
Okay, thank you. Alan?
Yeah, I don't disagree that we can say that, but I think it has to be a peripheral statement, something to the effect of, although we feel this is an important issue for the applicants that we're talking about, it may well make sense for everyone, but I don't think we want to be in the position of advocating a major change. There was plenty of opportunity for people to comment on the applicant guidebook itself, and presumably there are some comments in this vein. So we can say we understand it and support it, but I don't think we want to be in the position of advocating it.
Okay, thank you. Sir Johnny?
Exactly, Alan. Exactly. I do think that we have to argue about this point for our needy applicants, because it's our mission. It's our duty. But we don't have any right to speak about the others. It's not in our mission. I have sent on the list a proposition based on Danny Younger's comments, and it has two alternatives: either to designate a replacement, an operator to replace the registry if there is a failure, or to reduce the period from 3 years to, as he explained, to 3 months. It's possible. Because if you see the failover plan, they speak only about 1 month or 1 month and a half. No, excuse me. They speak about 3 months, and the proposal of Danny is for 6 months.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, I'll just note that the registry failover plan of designating a backup registry operator is not the same thing as what we're talking about here. We're talking about here a new TLD which has attracted some number of customers and goes belly up, is not able to sustain its operations. And the question is, how do we minimize the impact for perhaps a long time on the user base that has been established, that has been created in good faith or has come to these people in good faith. Designating a backup operator who's, you're not going to find anyone who says, yes, I'll sign up as the backup and I'm willing to lose a lot of money on this over the next 3 years. It's a slightly different take at the problem, and so I don't think we can consider them quite equivalent. I'm not saying the three-year financial instrument is reasonable, but it is addressing a different issue than just a backup registry will.
Okay, thank you. Richard?
Yeah, just very quickly, I just want to say, that was Alan then, correct?
Yes. Right.
Yeah, I just want to say for everyone's benefit, Alan's hit the nail on the head here. These are two different things. In fact, the initial versions of the applicant guidebook did have kind of a backup or buddy type registry. But then it was pointed out to ICANN quite logically that there's no guarantee that the backup guy is going to be in business, a year or 2 years from now either. So they really did gravitate in later versions of the applicant guidebook towards this notion of a financial instrument for exactly the purpose that Alan just said. It's to protect registrants who buy a name in good faith and their registry fails. So the question here, as Alan said, is, what is a reasonable amount of time, an amount of cash to keep that registrant's name operating while they have the opportunity to go and look for a new TLD to live in.
Okay, thank you. I'm still not sure that I see from the conversation we've got how we're dealing with the split between what is a recommendation for all applicants and what we are recommending specifically.
specifically in regard to this issue, not specifically this recommendation, for the applicants that have need. Hey, Richard, you put your hand back up again.
Yeah, so just I am okay with the notion that we just recommend a reduction for our own group, as Tijani said. I think that's fine.
Okay.
So I think what we've probably just got to decide is what's an appropriate time frame. The applicant guidebook requires 3 years at the moment, and so I think what we need to think through is what's an acceptable duration of time that we would argue that our applicants would provide this sort of financial instrument. If we say it's 3 months, it means that the customers of that PLD have sort of only got 3 months to go and find a new home. So it seems to me 3 months may be too short, and certainly 3 years is too long. I think it's somewhere in between.
Okay. So we need to figure that out. We'll need to discuss that. More discussion is needed. Okay. Let me see. Did we have any others? We had another Danny Younger. And I just wanted to get, although we only have a minute left, so I don't think we're going to get very far on it.
Avery, I'm sorry, this is Carla. I'm very confused about this one. So is this going to be rewarded via email, or do we leave it as is?
I think we need to capture what it is, but it also sounds like we have more to do in terms of figuring out an answer. So
okay.
What I think the answer I've gotten so far is that there's value in the recommendation for all. However, because of our scope, we're only dealing with applicants in need. And for applicants in need, we are recommending shortening the period to X. And we don't have the X yet. I believe, is that sort of a, anyone correct me if I have a wrong? And so I'd word phrase something like that for now, as opposed to that it's not related to proposal, and we have yet to figure out what X is.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. That puts us at 11:30. We had a couple more comments to go through from Richard, from Danny, and we'll have to start those at the next meeting, which Evan will be chairing. Hopefully we can get a revision out that has some of the work we've done today indicated. I have to indicate, and I think I've already told people, that over the next 2 weeks, while I'll be able to do work on list on this at night, my daytime hours on a Vilnius daytime, I'm not going to be able to participate in the meeting, so I am unfortunately, at least I don't think I am. If I manage to escape from my boss's requirements in the IGF secretariat, I will join in the meeting, but essentially I can't. I don't believe I can. So we've got three more meetings until the 13th. The 13th is a deadline for getting the document in, so we have to consider, you know, at what level we will be in three more meetings worth or another 10 days. I don't believe, and we should take this the rest of this to the list, I don't believe that we will be final. I think we'll be very far along, and we may still have some issues where there is some discussion. But I believe, one, that we are moving close to being complete, even if we're not there. And two, I don't believe that there's any intractable issues. I think on most issues we are working towards consensus, although we may have on a few issues someone wishing to contribute a qualifying statement. But that's my feeling. So I see Tijani with his hand up, and so Tijani and then Evan with a last word, and then we close the meeting.
Okay, thank you. I think that we will not be able to finish our work on 15. And bearing in mind that we have 1 week that we have to jump because there is IGF, and a lot of us will be in Vilnius, and we will not be able to work on this working group task. So we need to extend our deadline, otherwise we will not be able to finish our work and properly, if you want, because there is a lot of things to discuss and to rework. So we have work.
We have two problems with that, Tijani. I think you're right. We're going to take longer to do our work. However, if we want to have something for the board to read for its retreat, the 13th is not our deadline. It's an institutional deadline. So we have to decide whether we're just going to say, and we should really take this to list, whether we're just going to say, listen, this is as far as we're guiding, you know, this is as far as we've gotten. It's a working document. There is bracketed text and so on. Or we want to say, you've got the snapshot, you've seen the comments, we're still working, we've got nothing more to add at this point. You know, we can go either way. Let's discuss it on the list. I jumped in between you and Evan as opposed to giving him the last word. So, Evan, you've got the last word, and close the meeting after that.
There's not a whole lot for me to say. I mean, so far I've agreed with everything I've heard over the last few minutes. Yes, we are generally in violent consensus over most of these issues, but we won't know until we've gone over everything. Are we going to make the 13th? I think we're going to have to discuss it, and we may just say, this is as far as we have. Here's the red line stuff we haven't got to yet, and put it out.
Okay, thanks. Meeting closed. Let's continue on the list, folks. The list has gotten better, so let's do more. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.